It was, of course, spillage.
Really?
Oh, good.
Vancouver Cooperative Radio. CFRO. 100.5 FM. Co-op Radio. The people's friend. The tyrant's foe.
Do you touch the frogs?
I do occasionally, but they don't like it.
What do they do when you touch them?
They hop off.
Heidi-hee and heidi-ho, time it is, don't you know, for Soapbox Radio. Yes, you are listening to The Live, April 25th edition of the Soapbox Radio Disability News. Welcome. Well, I just hit the microphone, so there you go. Hi, hello, and how are you? I'm doing pretty good until I hit the microphone, and hope you are pretty peachy yourself. I'm Victor Schwartzman, and this is the Soapbox Radio Disability News. We are in the control room. I'm here with Carrie, who has been our operator since day one, who's working the controls. You're hearing us live on 100.5 FM, broadcasting from downtown Vancouver. Or, if you aren't driving a car and listening to the radio, you are listening to us on your computer or telephone, and that would be through our website, www.coopradio.org. Speaking of our website, there's a membership drive that's coming up. So if you take a look on the website, you're going to see membership and donation pages. If you're listening, you know that we're an embarrassingly not-for-profit radio station where member-run, you can move from being just a listener, not to put it exactly that way, because listening's important, but you can also produce your own shows, become a member, support this station. So I'd like you to think about that, please, at www.coopradio.org. Now, our focus today is going to be independent living, but first the news. Where is co-producer and host Muslim Rasooli? Well, a family situation has him needed elsewhere today. He will be back. And me, well, if you remember, I got an eye patch now over my left eye for the last week. I had eye surgery to replace my lens, get rid of some cataracts. Well, the eye's healing, but slowly, the patch really helps. I'm missing a parrot, by the way. If someone has a parrot they could lend me, I'd super appreciate that. But you know what? Your brain really has a tough time, as it turns out, dealing with two different focuses from each eye, or one from each eye, and two different light levels. You know, I've learned how the eyes are connected to the shin bone, but let me tell you, it's a whole different level, something like this. So, the actual news, apart from Muslim not being here, well, today is, among other things, International Guide Dog Day, and I believe we have, live on the phone, our friend Alex from the Camp Bowen Society. Alex, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good morning. This all worked out. Isn't that great? We were just talking this morning, conspiring to do this today.
Yeah, I'm very, very glad to be on the show again today.
Yeah, thank you. So I want to get to, or maybe we should get to the Bowen Island, I never get the name right. It's the Camp Bowen Society, yes?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. But I also want to talk about International Guide Dog Day. But you know what? It's been a little while since we've had a follow-up. I know that you had a meeting scheduled. I believe it was with a bylaw officer with the municipality.
That's correct. It was the senior bylaw officer and one of the city planners.
Okay, and why don't you bring us up to date about this area, which was originally intended just for people who are sight impaired, and well, what's happened to it?
I'm just going to step in here quickly. The property in question, which is located on Bowen Island, has been protected by a covenant, which is a document that has the same weight as a municipal bylaw since 2002, with the primary purpose of being for training, recreation, and meeting space for people who are blind, visually impaired, and deafblind.
Mm-hmm.
The Camp Bowen Society, amongst other organizations, has been pushing for enforcement of that covenant for, I'd say over a year at this point. With the bylaw, we did, as you indicated, have a meeting scheduled for the 12th of April. At that meeting, which took place between myself as the representative of the Camp Bowen Society, the senior bylaw officer, and the city planner, they basically had us reaffirm our position that we would like to see the covenant enforced for both the benefit of blind, visually impaired, and deafblind, as well as for the residents in the local neighborhood there as well, who are also protected by the covenant as well. And so we basically just had to reaffirm our position. By law, we'll be meeting with the representatives of the Bowen Island Lodge, which is the facility in question, on April 30th, and we'll be sharing their findings with us on May 2nd at a follow-up meeting. We also, two of our representatives spoke on their personal behalves, myself included, at the municipal council meeting this past Monday. That's the April 23rd, to express our views, with more to come at the following municipal council meeting.
So you're in a series of stages. I can understand it's step by step there. You've talked with them now, the 100-year group or whichever particular subsidiary will talk with them, and then I guess they're going to review that information with you on May 2nd?
That is our understanding.
Yeah. Did they give you any kind of timeline as to when they may make a decision, or will they tell you?
No, that is presumably to be shared at the May 2nd meeting.
Okay. Well, golly, I wish you the best of luck. My understanding was that one of the issues is the property isn't being maintained the way it was, so walkways, the parking lot, other areas are very difficult to...
Very, very, very unsafe areas. So the owners of the property can say all they like, oh, we'll rent out to, you know, to visually impaired groups. Even from just a safety perspective alone, they won't. It's untenable for any group to actually be able to book it without serious liability concerns. So that's something definitely we hope to see that covenant in full force as soon as humanly possible.
Right, and it's been bad enough. So last year, nothing like this happened at the facility, right?
There. Well, we were not able to have any programs, and that's the first time in 54 years
exactly.
that we've not been able to have anything.
Well, I certainly hope to follow up with you on this. I think we have another show on May 2nd. I'd have to check the calendar, but that's super important. You know, Alex, there's one thing I've never asked you.
Go for it.
Okay, apart from the Camp Bowen Society, which obviously takes a fair bit of time, and more power to you, should I ask what else you do?
I am a full-time volunteer director for the organization, so I hold down a position which is equivalent to a, if not exceeding, a full-time 9-to-5 schedule.
Wow. Okay. And volunteer work, that's pretty tough to deal with, too. Sometimes you try and recruit people, maintain them, and motivate them.
I will say we do have an excellent team of fellow volunteers who I work with. So it's been it's a pleasure working with them. Just touching back on the bylaw, the covenant situation. Definitely would encourage any listeners, you guys are radio, not newspaper.
I forget sometimes.
Any of the listeners to go to our page. We've been posting updates. That's campbowen.ca /lodge. For those who have visited before and found the document overwhelming, we have now posted a summary that should be able to get you up to speed quickly, but the letters of support are still more important than ever. We originally had said that the letters of support should be received before that bylaw meeting, but now that it's clearer that this will probably go before council at some point for a decision one way or another as to whether to enforce it, we definitely do need those letters of support. And you can find information on that page again.
Okay.
And that's campbowen.ca, B-O-W-E-N, /lodge.
And I hope anyone who's listening can take the time, if you are listening on your computer at home or something like that, once the show's over, it's very easy. I'll remind people of the web address to do off an email, to go to the website to see what you have to do. I think that the Camp Bowen municipality would need to know there is real support to maintain the facility as it has been for literally over half a century. And I'm hoping you've been getting a fair number of letters of support. So, golly, so...
We've definitely been getting a good number, but it's never too many.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show as much as we can.
Okay, the next two people who are going to be on the show, we're going to be talking about independent living, being able to live in the community if you have a disability and everything that's involved with that. I don't know if you'd like to help me out by doing a segue to that kind of topic.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As that is one of the areas that the Camp Bowen Society. We pride ourselves in working in that space. So not only are all our camps run with a focus on independence, but we are also involved very heavily in the establishment of a center where persons will be able to come and learn from across Canada, come and learn the skills that they need. Whether they be blind or deafblind, to live on their own.
Couldn't agree more. And we're going to go right off now. Because we only have two phone lines, I'm going to have to, unfortunately, drop your call to make room for Anthony Brilson, Paul Gauthier, who are going to continue this discussion. But, Alex, we're going to have to have you back on like next week. If I've got the timing right, to see if we can find out from you what you were told at that May 2nd meeting.
Absolutely, and we'll see what we can do. We can either do it next week or the week after. We'll be in touch. Thanks
a lot,
Victor.
And look, thanks a lot for taking the time today to make the call.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that really is some of the news. Ironically, we never did get to talk about International Guide Dog Day. I think that day has been around for a number of years, and guide dogs are recognized probably as the prime service animal most people are aware of, certainly from way back when. Dogs in particular seem to have been amenable to the kind of training, companionship, all the different things that are involved in helping somebody who has a sight impairment. So I did take a look on the internet. I saw nothing for Vancouver that's scheduled to celebrate this day, so we might have to wait until next year to celebrate International Guide Dog Day. But you know what? It's good that we have guide dogs. There are organizations which help create them. I will not be able to name one right now, but you can go online and maybe support them. There are other organizations which involve people who use the services of a guide dog, like the Canadian Council of the Blind, for example. And we've had them on the show, Albert Rowell. They could also probably use your support as well. So that's my little spiel for International Guide Dog Day. And now we are going to go on to the rest of our show. And I think we're pretty well on time. I'm just seeing Kerry, our technician, finish linking up the last call. And he's about to press those buttons. And then he can put up the volume. And then we should have on the air both Paul Gauthier and Anthony Brills. Paul, are you there?
Yes, Victor. How are you?
Not too bad. By golly, it worked. We talked about doing it this way this morning, and it's happening. And Anthony, are you on the phone?
Possibly.
Okay, you know what? It actually worked. So we got you both. Hey, Anthony, how are you doing today? Is everything going all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just in here relaxing in my bed.
Okay, very good. I know you had family, nieces and nephews around for some time.
Yeah, quite a bit of them out of the house.
Okay, good. It sounds nice and quiet. And Paul, I believe we're speaking to you from your office.
You are, yes, at the Individualized Funding Resource Center Society.
And you know what, Paul, I'd like to kind of start with you here. Because we started talking, and Alex was very generous in helping do the segue about community living, about independent living. You're deeply involved in that. Could you just fill in our listeners, Paul, a little bit about who you are and how you're involved?
Sure. So I am Paul Gauthier, and I'm the executive director at the Individualized Funding Resource Center Society. And I've been involved in the movement of helping people with disabilities access services in the community for a couple decades now. And with one of my biggest passion, I know that you want to talk about, is the CECL program, which is the Choices in Support for Independent Living. Excuse me. And, you know, this program has made a difference for over 1,000 people in our province. And I guess we call it the best kept secret, because it is a program that allows people to get access to home support through individualized funding, where the funds can come directly to them for them to be able to purchase their own home support by employing personal attendants, and other people refer to them as caregivers. For myself, I have a physical disability in that I have cerebral palsy and use an electric wheelchair to get around. And if it wasn't for a program like this, I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed. I wouldn't be able to get to work when I need to get to work. So the CECL program is something that I'm very passionate about. We're going to talk a little later about the Right Fit pilot project around housing. I look forward to that. I do sit on the City of Vancouver's Disability Advisory Committee, where we're looking at all issues and related to the city. And I sit as the chair of the housing subcommittee there as well. So things are busy, as you know, Victor. We get involved with everything and everything. So I'm looking forward to having some more discussions with you this afternoon. So thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being here. Anthony, you've been listening to some of this, and I think you know about CECL, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I also know about Paul.
Uh-oh. What do you want to tell us about him?
Well, he phones me every couple days to tell me random stuff.
What?
He phones me every couple days just to bug me. It's all a lie. He just loves bugging me.
He sounds very annoying, yet he seems like such a nice guy.
I know.
Well, Victor, I love annoying Anthony. I totally love annoying Anthony.
It's pretty easy, too.
Anthony and I have known each other now for how long, Anthony? About a year now?
At the time I met you when I was... Well, I first sent my email to you when I was maybe late 17.
Oh, that was 2 years ago.
So about 2 and maybe a quarter years.
Wow, and you emailed Paul, and was he of any help, or did he tell you to take a hike?
Yeah, he pretty much said, all right, I'll help you.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, yes?
I was just going to say, Victor, you know, I now remember that, and, you know, the transition from, you know, services from going from being a youth to an adult is not an easy transition, and, you know, I'm so happy that we were able to connect with Anthony early on. And be able to give them information about home support and the CECL program as an option. And Anthony has been fantastic in that even though he calls me annoying, he tends to listen to some ideas and thoughts, and he kind of moves forward with them. And I think a lot of that learning on the CECL program is going to help you, Anthony, as you follow your career in the legal world, as you want to become a lawyer, right? So it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And Anthony, we'll talk about your studies, but, you know, this is all about independent living, about living in the community. Is part of that, because you mentioned it before, and I don't want it to get lost or necessarily left for later, the Right Fit Pilot Project. What exactly is that, Paul?
You know, the Right Fit Pilot Project, you know, is such an important project in that we're looking at the issues of housing. And as for people with physical disabilities, well, first of all, anyone in this in the Lower Mainland is finding it challenging in regards to finding housing. But for when it comes to people with physical disabilities that require things like a roll-in shower, having access to subsidies, you know, and dealing with these kinds of issues, we've kind of determined that the key challenges have been around the supply of the accessibility units and having them be affordable. And looking at the demand side, I mean, there's many people with disabilities that are looking for housing, but the interesting thing is that we also hear from service providers when a unit does come available, which does not happen very often, but when they do come available, that sometimes they're saying they can't find the person with a disability that matches what the unit design is for. And in the past, we've heard a lot of these units actually go to able-bodied people. And so what we've done here is we've come forward and looking at a way to be able to work with both housing providers that are looking for someone to fill their unit, and also working with people with disabilities who are looking for units as well.
Hence the name Right Fit.
Hence the Right Fit, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and within this is that we're looking at a case management approach to it as well, because one of the things that happens is that once a unit does become available, and if there is a match, sometimes it was taking a significant amount of time to secure equipment. So if I need a track ceiling lift, for example, quite often you need to actually have a place before you could actually start the process of applying for equipment. And we've been now working... and I should really mention to you, actually, it's really important, that we're actually in a partnership led by the Disability Alliance, BC, BC Housing, the Ministry of Social Service, sorry, the Ministry, they change their names a lot, Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, Vancouver Coastal Health, Fraser Health, and the City of Vancouver. And this is a 3-year multi partner pilot to help users and housing and service providers in the Metro Vancouver area better match availability of needs. And I should mention also that we've been great, much appreciated the funding that we've been receiving for the 3 years through the Vancouver Foundation and the BC Rehab Foundation. So, yeah, so, I mean, we're looking at making sure that we can look at that whole matching piece and being able to do it where there's a case management approach where actually we have navigators that are able to help facilitate the process of fast-tracking equipment, for example, and be able to look at areas of home support as well through the health authorities. And it's fantastic that they're at the table and that we're all working together to look at how we can better look at changing systems and look at systemic change through this pilot project.
Well, that sounds, yeah.
So let me tell you a little bit about the eligibility of our program at the moment, right? So
can people still be involved?
Somebody that uses a wheelchair, uh-huh, is our first phase. And between the age of 19 and 64, and that they're currently receiving PWD benefits, that they currently have an application with BC Housing, and that they require subsidy, and that they live in the Vancouver Coastal or Fraser Health area. So we're, you know, what we generally do is that someone can give us a call at 604-777-7576, and they get connected with our intake process through the navigator, where they're able to kind of get a bit more information about the individual, what kind of unit they're looking for, find out if they've updated their BC Housing Registry, because as you know, every 6 months you have to continue to keep your BC Housing Registry up to date. And we determine, you know, their eligibility, and then they start working through the technology side and what your needs are. So on the technology side, we're looking at fast tracking areas, things like bath aids, commode chairs, bath benches, the ceiling track lifts, electric beds, grab bars. So kind of the things that you need for when you first move into a unit, to look at ways to be able to do that. And the ministry has done a great job in working with us in coming up with this part of the pilot.
That sounds really interesting. Anthony, let me ask you, you live in the family home. Did the family home need changes to it to accommodate you?
Aside from the dealing with, not really. However, we are in the process of trying to secure funding to remodel the bathroom to a rolling shower, as Paul called it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit harder than I thought it'd be.
Actually, plumbing and the shower and all that gets sort of complicated. I know of...
Yeah.
A friend of mine who, in fact, just had one done. We have friends who are architects, actually, and help with construction, who did this totally sealed room. So you can just go in it and shower, and it's all tiled up and drains into the floor. Anthony, you raised sort of the money stuff, and I did want to check in with you about how far you've gotten with that letter to the health department expressing a concern that the money you're receiving just isn't enough?
Well, unfortunately, it's not really going as fast as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. However, now that I've done most of the stuff that I need to do. I can now focus on getting back into college.
Okay, what's the deal with the letter? Has it been completed or is it still in progress?
Not yet. I think we're just going to go off of the letter we sent to Fraser Herald, retype it, add the new points that have come up, and then send it.
Okay, so we can follow that, but you're going back to Douglas College, are you?
Yes. When the paper or when the notice comes in, and I think maybe mid-June, I'll sign up for two classes, one for at the campus, one for at home, online.
Okay, and I know last year you had problems. We had ice, we had snow, where you had to go on a pretty steep hill at the campus in New Westminster. Have you worked out stuff to avoid that problem this coming year?
I think for the first semester, the fall semester, there's not really much to deal with besides the John-Limmis Hill that I do not like at all. Besides that, there's not much to deal with. However, winter and spring, I think I'm going to do purely online courses. That way I don't have to go up a hill or in a pile of snow or anything like that.
And there are tons of things available online. Do you know exactly which ones at this point you're going to take?
Probably intro to policing, and I don't know exactly what courses I have to take. I'd have to relook at my criminology degree requirements.
Oh, okay. And how's things? I mean, we've had some gorgeous weather. Have you been able to get out and do much? I know budget is an issue.
Like I said to you in the email a few weeks ago, I'm a grade A introvert. I do not leave my house at all.
And that's largely around money, which brings us around to living independently in the community and the kind of money that is available, at which point I'll bring Paul back into this conversation, because he in large part is all about, in the Individualized Funding Resource Center Society, helping people access the funds for the services they need.
So let me, Victor, talk about a couple things. One is, in our partnership with BC Housing, we've also become aware more of a program called HAFI, which is the Home Adaptions for Independence. And it provides financial assistance for modifications to the home. And if the building itself is eligible for it, and that is something Anthony might want to look into, especially with the aspect of the roll-in shower. It is a big deal to change a bathroom setup. It can cost anywhere from around $10,000 or more for this. So, if Anthony and his building qualifies, they could receive up to $20,000 in financial assistance. So, I definitely encourage Anthony to look into that for sure. So that's one side around that. And I think, the discussions around the funding, I know that I've been very involved from the beginning with Anthony as he had been working towards hours of home care. And it's one of those situations where we continue need to work on provincial policy around assisting people with disabilities and being able to have full lives, that it's not just about, keeping us clean and, just getting up and putting us to bed. You know, there's other aspects in life that Anthony talks about being able to go out and into the community. And even though the CECL program allows Anthony to do that, having access to the number of hours that he needs can be challenging. And I think the health authorities follow guidelines through the ministry. And I think that, you know, with the work that we're currently doing, we're able to shine some light on this through the, we have a working group with the Ministry of Health and the health authorities. And we're having lots of discussions at the moment around assessments and how assessments are done in the different regions. And I think that's really an important discussion to be having, because the health authorities deliver based on ministry policy. And I think we need to continue to look at the ministry policy around how we assess people for hours. And community inclusion is something that we're wanting to put on the discussion table for people with physical disabilities, that to be able to be out in the community and do things, there's going to need to be dollars attached to that. And that, you know, they call it home support. And maybe that's part of our problem, is it's called home support, which sounds like it should only be within the home. But people with physical disabilities, they need their caregivers wherever they are, whatever they're doing. And in Anthony's case, to be able to go to school or to go and be involved, he needs to take his caregiver with him. And that costs dollars to do that.
Okay, I'm going to back us up, because you mentioned something, and just for the sake of this whole discussion, I want to clarify that, and it's been a big issue on our show. There's a transition from when you go from up to 18 and become 19. It's called aging out. You get one kind of health care as a child, as a minor, but when you're 19, it all changes. And what you have to do with your family and what help you can get as a minor still in high school is negotiate with health authorities as to what, when you turn 19, you're going to get. And it seems to me that no matter what the health authority, people inevitably get less than they did as a child. And as far as I know, this may happen in other provinces. No one seems to talk about it. My guess is if it happens in other provinces because of this legal technicality when you become an adult from going to be a minor, that there are navigators. You mentioned the word navigator, Paul. And I know that if you have a cognitive disability, the government will supply a navigator to help you through this and get you the best benefits possible. But short of having a cognitive impairment, it seems to me you got to do it on your own. And I just thought I'd bring that up because that's a part of this discussion, because Anthony's now become, at the age of 19, a small business person. He has to interview, hire, supervise, and fire aides. He has to acquire funding and all the rest of it. So I've given you both a little bit of rant, Paul. Would you like to respond to this whole aging out process?
You know, the aging out is such a stressful time for individuals with disabilities and their families. And there really is a disconnect between what individuals get as a youth to when they become an adult. You know, that it's a whole different system. You're reapplying, you're starting you really are starting all over again. I believe health authorities do their best to try to manage and help in that transition if they get enough lead time. At the same time, I think health authorities, you know, they don't have the same funding as you have when you're a child. And I think that is part of the problem here, is that the health authorities need to get the appropriate funding or policies in place so that people can actually get the same. I mean, people are getting nursing services as a child. You know, agencies are being paid for nursing services up to about $70 an hour. You know, when you turn 19, all of a sudden, the number of hours that you get can be considerably reduced, based on the policies that are currently in place. So we definitely have to look at that. Our organization, on the second part of this, our organization really tries to help facilitate the process. We're not governmentally funded at this time. We are funded by individuals themselves in regards to us being able to support them. And a lot of it is on a volunteer basis, where our navigators really work with an individual up front to actually help them work through the maze of getting on to the program, because there's a lot of preparation. I think you said it really right around, it's like running a small business. And in like running any small business, you have to be organized and prepared. And whenever you're going to be meeting with the health authority, the more organized and prepared you are, that can be able to help your case manager, because the case manager gathers information about what your needs are. And if you don't have that information in front of you and being ready to talk about it, you may not be able to express all of your needs. So we always recommend somebody develop what we call a supported lifestyle plan. And that's where you look at your 24-hour day and you start writing a complete list of what all your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
From getting up in the morning to doing your transfers to brushing your teeth to, just all of the physical aspects of your care, so that when you meet with your case manager, you can be able to present that information and be able to give them a timeline of how long it takes to do different components of your needs.
I understand that. I just interrupt to say that in a better system, since the health authority, which supplies all of your healthcare needs up to 18. In a better system, the health authority literally already has all of that information and wouldn't force you to make the case as if there's this wall between you being 18 and 19 and you have to prove it. That's one of the things that strikes me as so strange. I'm not criticizing the health authorities for this, and I appreciate their budgets are limited, but it all seems very strange to put people through this pretty ugly and unpleasant process of having to negotiate like that.
So, Victor, I agree. If there was a more seamless process where the information is already there, what your needs are, and frankly, the funds should continue onward, actually. Victor, in my opinion, right? That there shouldn't be this stop and restart process, right? It should just continue. Because yesterday I was 18, but today I'm 19, that my needs have changed all of a sudden. It's not the case, right?
That's right. I appreciate I'm a lay person. It's very easy to criticize, but for me, it's a legal technicality based on your birth date, and the government should be able, because it's made these rules, to make it easy. I'm guessing, and nobody has to agree with this, I'm guessing it isn't made easy. The health authorities get less money than they need because of an overall drive to, first cut back on spending, but also, although the government, I think, may talk about community living and independent living, I believe in the government's heart and soul, it wants to see people in institutions because it's a lot cheaper. Okay, so that's a loaded statement. Nobody has to agree or disagree, but it sure strikes me that way.
But I think, though, that we all need to be voices.
Yeah.
And we all need to be able to be clear of what is that we want for our society. And
yeah.
We all know institutions is not where we want our family members to be going. Doesn't matter if you're a person with disability or frankly a senior.
Mm-hmm.
We need to continue to work together to push the system to change the system. But at the same time, I think there's opportunities to partner and collaborate together for that change. Because I think that I believe the health authorities and the ministry, if given the right solutions, could, and if they would be willing to take on those right solutions, we can make a difference so that people with disabilities can continue to live in the community as
With what yeah. I think people who've listened to the show have heard Anthony talk about what he's had to do to try and secure proper funding. Up until 19, he would get funding for 8 boxes of gloves for his aides a month. Now he gets money for, if I understand right, 3 boxes, and somehow he has to find money for the other 5 boxes a month. This is stressful. You said it was stressful, Paul. I know, Anthony, you just talked about, you know, how difficult it was, and you need to focus on other things in your life. So this brings me to the Cecil Peers Support Group, which I'm going to guess, based on its name, helps provide support to people who are coping with Cecil issues.
Yeah, you know...
either one of you is okay. Anthony?
Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, but I still never heard about that before.
Okay, well, Paul is going to tell us about it.
So, the Individualized Funding Resource Center has teamed up with the BC Association for Individualized Technologies and Support for People with Disabilities, BCIPS. And, I've known BCIPS for a long time. And they've been very involved in my life in regards to assisting me to access technology for my home. Things like being able to answer my telephone, to be able to access my television, and to be able to really look at different components of technology. And we came together to talk about, how can we bring peers together to be able to talk about issues that are affecting their lives. And one of the things that we decided to do was to start a new series called The Path to Independence. And we're going to be holding our first session coming up on May 7th. That's Tuesday, May 7th, between 12:15 and 3:15. And we're going to be talking about the Choices and Supports for Independent Living People program. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming changes to the program, how to enroll in it, what you need to know as an employer, and really, be able to handle kind of questions and thoughts about the program. But really, this peer group is going to take a life of its own, and that, people are going to, decide on their own as a group what they would like to handle. Would they like to be talking more about changes that they would like to see in the program, or would they like to deal with issues like employment standards, for example, or employee benefits, or what is a better way to hire caregivers, or those kinds of things. So we're really excited about it. If people are interested in attending, we're asking them to RSVP by either giving us a call at 604-777-7576 and just say that you're interested in attending the peer support group, and or you can email us at Cecil Peers, that's C-S-I-L, Peers, P-E-E-R-S, at ifrcsociety.org. I'm excited about it. I hope you're coming, Anthony. It would be great to have you there so that people can hear about your journey. And I think it's a great chance to meet other people that are going through the same stuff you are.
If I have time to do it, then definitely.
Well, okay, then, Anthony, you'll be busy, I guess, partly with... No, school isn't coming up yet. May 7th isn't too bad. Will you be too busy gaming or watching TV? Sounds like a pretty good deal. Well, yeah, maybe you should reconsider. It sounds like a really good deal, and I know that One of the issues has always been isolation for people who have a disability or issues where it's hard to get out of the house. And it seems to me that anywhere you where you can go and talk and share experiences, and they don't even have to be about what the meeting's about necessarily, is a good idea. All of that said, Anthony, I know, for example, you're a big gamer. Are you onto any new games these days? What are you doing?
I've just been mainly playing Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3. So
yep.
Is that a happy-go-lucky positive game with cute little pink angels and stuff?
if I have a lucky positive game, you mean a game where you get so mad you want to destroy your computer because one hit kills you, then yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, in fact, I'm playing a Russian fan version of the old Heroes of Might and Magic 3, which is a very famous old game, and the Russian group, and it's a volunteer group, it's remarkable. They took the original engine and redid it, but because they're Russians, and I'm sorry to say this, but maybe it's a stereotype, they've made it really hard. I mean, this isn't an easy game. I've won, but playing on the totally stupid easy level, like the bottom level, because anything else, suddenly these things crop up, and I don't think I ever want to meet Putin in person, I gotta say, about the whole thing. So you're playing a Dark Souls 3. Are you watching anything interesting on TV?
Not really. Dark Souls takes up most of my time.
What about it is so absorbing?
It's just the difficulty of it. Just every time you do something difficult, it's not like a normal difficult game where you can just turn the difficulty down, beat it, then turn it back up. You have to plan what you're going to do with just that sense of accomplishment after you complete something. It's just big.
I hear you on that. And Paul, I don't even know if you have spare time. Do you do any gaming, or do you have any other interesting hobbies you can talk about?
You know, I love the idea of playing video games, but it's not something that I ever got into. It inspires me that you're so into it, Anthony, and going with that. For me, I have a little guy named Mateo. He's 7 years old. He's straight into the whole gaming things already, right? You know, an iPhone, they just know how to deal with that right away. And he's starting to do ball hockey and things like that. So, you know, on a social end, it takes up the time, and it's pretty fun.
Well, yeah, I can't do the games Anthony plays. They're real time, and you have to react. I just can't. They're too tense, just for starters, and I never react quickly enough anyway. Are you into movies or anything at all, or just as a discretion?
Well, I'm a competitive guy, Victor.
Yeah.
So it's probably one of the reasons why I haven't got into the video games either. I probably wouldn't stop because I would want to keep going until I win. But I'm a Paralympic athlete, and I've been competing around the world.
What's your sport?
I bocce ball. I play bocce. You know, the Italian sport is close. I use a ramp to slide a ball down. Now, I recently retired, but I do plan to one day get back into it again in regards to maybe coaching down the road and stuff, but
my neighbor,
you know,
down
my big,
no, yeah,
my big year was in what was it, 2004 in Athens, Greece, where I won a gold and a bronze for Canada.
Holy smokes, that's a pretty big year. I was just saying that my neighbor downstairs where I live, Shane DeWilt, is a power football player. and is, I think, right now doing a GoFundMe campaign, Shane DeWilt on GoFundMe, to raise money to help for the transportation costs for a tournament in Oregon, I think it is. Hey, good for you. I so rarely speak to prize-winning athletes.
Well, you know, and your neighbor, I'm so glad he's involved in power football. I used to do that when I was younger as well. And sport is a great avenue to meet people and connect. And, you know, I was lucky in that I was able to go all the way with it on the Paralympic side. But I think the social things that you get out of sport is so important.
Well, absolutely. I can just imagine never having been at the level that you played at. Guys, you know what? It's 1:54 and a half. We've literally run out of time. First, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I frankly think we've only scratched the surface of some of these issues. So we're going to want to get back to you. Anthony? Yes, Paul, sorry.
I was just going to say, Victor, thanks for having me on the show, and would love to be back. And I agree with you, we just touched on these things. There's so much more information around the CISO program and so many things around accessibility that we can talk about and change. And can I just say one last thing, Victor,
yep.
And just say, you know, around the, if you're around home support, around housing, you know, feel free to give our organization a call. We'd be happy to talk to you more about the CISA program and the Right Fit Pilot Project.
Absolutely. So thank you, Paul. Anthony, thank you so much. We finally got you on the air live. I'm so proud of you and me both.
You asked us. This is the first time.
Yeah, it's always been a recording. So I guess you're going to go back.
Oh, I've done a live one before.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to try and get you into the studio. I wish you the best of luck with Dark Souls 3. Do you have any idea how far you are through that game?
I'm at one of the final, like, there's like five main bosses, and there's an endgame boss. I'm at the fifth main boss. Right,
okay.
Now.
I'm getting signs from our operator. It is time to go. Sorry. Thank you so much,
all
Paul.
Right.
Thank you so much, Anthony. And to everyone listening, to contact Paul's organization, the Individualized Funding Resource Center Society, the phone number is 604-777-7576. Also, it's www.ifrcsociety.org. That's one word. So thank you so much. Next week I'll be back. Amy Amanti will be my co-host, and we should have a very interesting show. So in the meantime, during our spring membership drives, if you're driving, don't do anything but think about donating to us. This is Victor Schwarzenegger, Soapbox Radio, saying I hope today is terrific. And the music's coming, I gotta go, so make tomorrow better. Bye.
Not just on one site, they're on 20 different, they just keep coming up and up, and I'm going, what is that?
Where your politicians are bleeding. Co-op Radio's got what's going on here, but I assume that somebody's trying to fix it.
Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. Co-op Radio, the people's friend, the tyrant's foe.
Here we are, a waste all the time. We've been here all day, eh?
Is this mic turned on?
Wax poetic.
Hi, kids. I'm a dinosaur hunter BMX rider.
All the little girls dream of one day biting into a corn dog and smiling at the camera.
If I ran the web, you could email dead people.
Wax poetic.
And I don't give a moment's focus to who does or doesn't like the sound of my voice.
In the terrarium is herpes. Herpes is a hermit crab.
Just say no to family values.
This is Wax Poetic on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
So what if I write a poem like a song?
Good afternoon and welcome to Wax Poetic on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, broadcasting from